Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be hearing from Donegal senior ladies manager Maxie Kern as they start their Division 1A campaign this weekend against Westmeath. As we look at the men's football of Donegal, Tyrone and Derry, I'll be joined by Ciara O'Kane of the Irish News, and former Donegal hurler Joe Boyle will be looking ahead to Donegal's clash with Mayo and Letterkenny this coming Sunday. Our weekly League of Ireland conversation sees us joined by former Finn Harps player Michael Funston later. Plus as well, we'll be hearing from Donegal boxer Jason Quigley, who's back in the ring on Saturday week in Las Vegas as he fights for a middleweight title. But first of all, we're going to start with some news of colleges sport. And Letterkenny IT has been named as a Basketball Ireland Centre of Excellence. The college is now one of four centres on the island of Ireland, with the other three being Waterford IT, NUI Galway and Ulster University Jordanstown. Today I've been speaking to newly appointed LYIT Head of Sport Michael Murphy on the new link-up with Basketball Ireland, plus his new position, and of course Monaghan, who are coming to Ballybuffet this coming Saturday. Michael says the new link with Basketball Ireland is a big deal.
I suppose the relationship the LYT has had, I suppose, over the last kind of, I suppose, 5 years with Basketball Ireland, it probably further strengthens that. I suppose the opportunity to have a centre of excellence here within Letterkenny, Donegal, in the northwest, I think it's only going to be positive for in general for the whole area. You know, we would like to, I suppose, describe ourselves as an opportunity in LYT to serve the, I suppose, our students and staff here and also the wider community. And I think that the having a centre of excellence here will provide actually the facility to do that and the facilities to do that in terms of our top class facilities that we have here in terms of our hall, our basketball courts, our high performance gyms, and even our staff expertise that we have here. So I think it's a 1-1 for all. If we look at basketball in general, it's played at all levels. It's played in primary schools, secondary schools. It's played here also too within our college teams at third level, and also the LYT Donegal team involved within the National League. So I think, I suppose, it's a great fit that we'll be able to hit at LYT. We'll be able to offer an opportunity to each stage of the player within that pathway. So it's a huge deal, and we're really, really excited about pushing it on going forward.
Yeah, and I suppose in one way it just shows the confidence of Basketball Ireland that what they have in the facilities and the people there that you have, Michael, at the LYT.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I suppose Niall McDermott, who is the Northwest Development Officer for Basketball Ireland, he is based within the LYT. He's the coach of our college teams, both men and ladies. And he's a coach of our national league team, also both men and ladies. So he's a brilliant fella to have around here. I know he does some fantastic work too within the overall area of basketball, not just within LYT, but within the Donegal and Northwest region. So we're looking forward to, I suppose, being at the centre of that to try and help out not only the LYT teams here, but the wider kind of community too, because I know there's some fantastic work going on locally with basketball too, and it's a fantastic sport that's played. And as I say, it's an exciting times.
Yeah. Let's just move back now to your position as Head of Sport at LYAT. Michael, you're on the job now just a couple of weeks. When the job became available, obviously you felt that it would be a good fit for you and a good fit for the college.
Yeah, exciting. I suppose we have no secret, I suppose, about the love of Donegal and being based here. I love Donegal as a county in the northwest as a whole. So yeah, it's an exciting role. I'm looking forward to being part of the team here at LYIT. There's a fantastic sports team already in place here with an LYIT sport here within the facilities that we have, but also academically too. Our sports courses have really grown from strength to strength over the last number of years. So really looking forward to, I suppose, being part of that overall general team and really trying to push the vision of sport. I suppose there's two remits to it. You know, we think about sport and LYT, we may think about the competitive nature of our teams and the competitive sports and our sports scholarship offering, which is a huge part of the remit. But also physical activity and well-being is a huge element, I think, within every part of society now today. So, you know, the provision of initiatives and programs and fitness programs for everyone, whether that be at the competitive stage or whether that just be at the more recreational stage, is important. So that's important to get across, that it's just not the competitive side of things, it's the overall recreational side of things. So providing that for the students and staff here within LYT is something I'm really driven to try and do, as well as trying to provide to externally, even for the wider community, because, as I say, we're a sporting mad area here within Donegal in the northwest, and as I say, it's exciting to be able to be at the forefront of that in an area and a topic that I'm really, really interested in.
Yeah, and you're coming on at a really, really exciting time, Michael, because there's huge plans for a new sports campus with LYT in the Mountaintop Knocknamona area here in Letterkenny, and you hope to get that venture up and running real, real soon. So you're coming on at a time where things are getting very, very busy.
Yeah, without a doubt. I say, I think this year LYT are hoping to supposed to break the 5,000 barrier in terms of a student population within here. So the developments here are growing from strength to strength. If we look at sport in particular, the facility that we have here in terms of our hall, our rock climbing facility, our fitness suite here in Andanlin, our sports pitch out the front. We currently have some really, really exciting facilities. In the last number of years, we've also included a high performance gym over in our main building, as well as a high performance lab where we can do testing for all of our different teams. But as you say, I suppose down the track, something that we're extremely excited about is about the development of a Knocknamona sports campus. So up to 14 million's worth of investment in that, and some fantastic facilities, up to three 4G pitches, both Gaelic and soccer, cricket crease, an air dome, and an indoor sprint track is some of just the facilities, to name a few, that's coming down the track. So we're hoping that's fast coming down the track and approaching. And as I say, that'll be important for our LYT community here, both students and staff, both our competitive teams, and maybe even our recreational users too, which is also important to mention. But also, I think it's for the wider community. If we look at all the different sports teams that are within the Letterkenny and Donegal Northwest region, we would hope that they would be able to externally get use of this facility too. So it's a win-win for all of the area, I believe, and it's something we're excited to kind of keep pushing forward in the near future.
Yeah, obviously you have the link up with Basketball Ireland, you have the link up with the GPA as well, Michael, but I'm sure that you'll be looking to link up with other bodies in the coming years under your role.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, I think that's really important to get across, and you know that I'll be doing that, where I'm going to be trying to reach out to as many of the national and governing bodies as possible. And I suppose the whole idea of that is to try and bring as much as possible here to LYT and increase our overall offering, not only for our students and staff, but I think also for the overall wider community within Letterkenny, Donegal and the Northwest. So trying to provide those expertise and knowledge where our people, our coaches, our players can get access to through the medium here of LYT is something that I'm extremely, I suppose, driven to try and do. And that's part of the overall vision that I think I would have here to try and better the overall area and LYT offering.
Just finally then, Michael, we'll touch on the game this coming weekend against Monaghan, game number two in the National Football League. What are you expecting from the Farnay County as they make the trip to Ballybofey?
Yeah, it'll be a tough one. I suppose the way the league has been designed this year is essentially there's a lot of familiarity between each of the teams. You know, we're familiar with Tyrone, we're familiar with Monaghan, we're familiar with Armagh, and likewise, I would say there everybody's familiar with themselves. So sometimes with familiarity, you know, sometimes there's just that inside knowledge of everybody where they're at. But I think this year it's slightly different in so far as I suppose no team knows, you know, individually where they're at in terms of physically and tactically, as well as the teams themselves don't really know where we're at. So I think last week was a positive, I think, for all four teams. Two really, really tight games, both ourselves and Tyrone. It was an extremely tight game. And the game itself then between Monaghan and Armagh was an extremely tight game. So I know Monaghan, they've been provided us with massive tests down through the years, and we've really enjoyed the games with them. We're in our home patch here in Ballybofey, and it's something we're always very cognizant of trying to really, I suppose, set up and stamp our authority within trying to keep a good winning run going within Ballybofey. But, you know, Monaghan will have absolutely other ideas. They'll be coming down the road, I suppose, maybe a little bit disappointed and cut up from their Armagh game. So, you know, you're going to expect, you know, two driven teams going into Balvafay on Saturday, really trying to fight for those 2 points.
Michael Murphy there, and you can watch that interview in full in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Well, this weekend it's the turn of the Donegal Senior Ladies to start their National Football League Division 1 campaign when they welcome Westmeath to McCool Park Ballybuffet on Sunday afternoon, with games to come against Mayo and Galway, plus an Ulster Championship starting in June. Donegal could find themselves playing 9 out of the next 10 weeks. Yvonne Boner, Kira Higgerty and Ailish Ward have all departed the squad, with several new additions being brought in. Donegal manager Maxi Kern says the entire panel and management are now excited to be back playing games.
Back now, this will be, we were probably 4.5 weeks into it now, we had an extra week to the boys, so it was all badly needed. You know, you've got your usual wee niggles and people struggling to get up to the pace of it. You know, you're expected to get to a place in 4 or 5 weeks that you usually have maybe 10-12 weeks to get to, so you know, you're trying to cram everything in. But look, I think the overall feeling is everybody is just, you know, so excited to get the games back. You know, that's players and spectators and everybody, you know, they're just happy to have the football, and I think everybody's just really looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah, there has been a number of changes, Maxi, to your panel. There's what, 6 or 7 girls have gone. 2 of them, Yvonne Boner and Kira Higgerty, which are huge losses to you, but you've also brought on a number of girls as well. So give us an outline of the coming and goings there, Maxi.
Yeah, look, there's a few of the more experienced girls have stepped away. All right, you know, you mentioned Yvonne, Kira Higgerty. You know, two of our 4 all-stars in Donegal. So, you know, they're no longer with us. Ailish Ward, another great servant for Donegal's, you know, given huge service over the years. She's no longer with us. And then a couple of new girls in over the last couple of years, Nicole Gordon and Clara Connor, Denise McElhenney, all, you know, all 6 would have played against Dublin last year. So, you know, it's a fair chunk of your squad. It's probably a third of the players used that night, you know, are no longer with us. And, you know, but look, we've definitely freshened up. We've revitalised the squad, and we've brought in some really good young girls. The likes of Shauna McFadden and Catherine Boyle from St Union's, real good additions. Megan Ryan from Milford has come back. She didn't play last year. She's focused on her leaving cert, so it's great to have Megan back. And then a few of the more seasoned campaigners, Rosh McCaffrey from Terman and Aoife Waters from Ardra, you know, they have come back in, and we have a new lady in from the Convoy Club as well, a Shelley 2 weeks, so another good addition too. So look, it's part of life, Austin. You know, teams revitalise and evolve as time goes on, and you know, we still have some very good players, and you know, your Karen Guthries and your Charlie McLaughlin's and your Nicole McLaughlin, your Kitty Hearn, you know, we still have some fabulous talent, and Eve Higgerty's still with us, thankfully. So we still have a very strong core, and you know, we're looking forward to the season ahead.
Given the fact that you've got these league games coming thick and fast, fire in an Ulster Championship game against Cavan, which could be between the league semi-final and final if you make it, Maxi. There's one thing what's going to happen over the next few weeks is your squad is certainly going to be tested.
Yeah, it is. Now, there's a lovely thing in ladies football in the National League is that it's almost, you know, it's unlimited substitution, so it's, you know, nearly almost roll on, roll off. So, you know, it's a tricky one to have to manage on the sideline. But look, it does mean that people get a chance to play, and look, as you rightly say, it's going to be a real sprint. This competition, we pump the potential to play, you know, 9 out of 10 weeks now over the next while, which is brilliant. And look, it's long been said that the ratio of training to matches in GAA is completely imbalanced, but nobody can say that about this year. And you know, fair play to the LGFA and, you know, the new president, Neil Nocton. They got a great rule, a great decision made there a couple of weeks ago that they were just going to go the split season and rattle out the inter-county season from start to finish, which is great for everybody. You know, it gives the players a real chance to focus on the county and then be able to focus properly on a club window at the back where they've got, you know, 4 or 5 months to play their club football, and, you know, it's what clubs really need this point in time. So I think it was a great decision, and, you know, fair play to the LGFA for arriving at that decision at this point. And as I say, it's going to be a real hectic time ahead, but it's lovely, it's great. You know, it's what players want to do. They want to play matches, they don't want to train. You know, they join county squads or any football team to play matches, not for training. So, you know, there's definitely going to be no shortage of games anyway.
What about Westmeath, the opposition, to start things off in your division in the league, Maxi?
Yeah, look, a real tough one. Westmeath beat us last year in the league down in Westmeath, you know, albeit on a 3G Astor pitch, and look, we probably feel we owe them one, but they came to Letterkenny a number of years ago as well and really put us to pin of a call. A real physical, you know, strong team, very athletic, and, you know, a lot of experience, and you know, they were unfortunate to lose the intermediate final last year, and they've managed to hold on to everybody, you know, and they're gunning for an intermediate title this year and a return to senior football. So, you know, they're going to come all guns blazing, and it'll be a battle for us. You know, as you mentioned earlier, there we have a lot of inexperienced players and younger guards now in our squad, and they'll be playing on Sunday, and so it'll be no easy one. But look, having home advantage is a good start, and you know, a team with the, you know, we'd like to think ourselves in the top level. So, you know, you'd really want to be, you know, accounting for teams like Westmeath.
Yeah. Home advantage in the opening two games, Max. You get Mayo the following Saturday. So if you were to make maximum points in both of those, it would be sort of an ideal start for you, wouldn't it?
It would. You'd have to think that you'd be hard pressed not to make a semi final if that was the case. But look, it's a really tough group. Galway and Mayo are both under new management, so you know, you can imagine both of those squads and managements will be, you know, really going out to, you know, on the front foot. With the championship coming, they don't even have a provincial final, so they'll go straight to the All Ireland series from the league. So, you know, they'll really want to make a good impression. We all have a number of players coming back from playing AFL in Australia, so, you know, they're going to come back in serious condition, and you know, we all want games for all those players. So look, it'll be a star-studded Mayo will arrive next week, and then Galway. You know, they're about second, third team in the country for the last 3 or 4 years. So it's a really tough league for us, but those are the kind of games you want, and you want to be testing yourself against the better teams. And, you know, by the time the three group games are over, whether we're in a semi-final or not, we'll have learned plenty about ourselves, and it'll put us in a good position, stand us in good stead for the Ulster semi-final then on the 19th of June.
Donegal senior boss Maxie Curran looking ahead to the match this coming weekend against Westmeath, where of course Geraldine McLaughlin could also make her 100th appearance in a Donegal senior jersey. And the Donegal senior ladies will learn their opponents later this evening for the All-Ireland Football Championship. The draw is set to get underway in just over an hour's time, after 8 o'clock. Maxie Curran's side are one of 13 teams in the hat for the draw. Seeded are Armagh, Cork, Dublin and Galway. Tyrone are also in there, along with the likes of Cavan, Kerry, Mayo, Meath, Monaghan, Tipperary and Waterford. The All-Ireland series is due to start on the weekend of July the 10th. Let's now move to men's football, and this weekend in the Alliance Football League, Donegal hosts Monaghan, Tyrone head for Armagh and Derry face Fermanagh. Cathair O'Kane of the Irish News joined me this week to look ahead to those matches, and I firstly asked him what did he take away from Donegal's win last Saturday at Healy Park against Tyrone.
Probably not an awful pile, to be honest. Like, I mean, Donegal, you kind of got what you expected to get, if you know what I mean. Like, obviously, the biggest thing probably was the sharpness and the freshness and the brilliance of Murphy. And the flip side of the positives for Tyrone, that's a massive negative because they've struggled with him over the last 4 or 5 years. They don't really know what to do with him. They had hoped, obviously, that if Padraig Campsie was fully fit and flying, that he would maybe replicate the performance of, I think it was 2017, when he put a good shackle on Murphy. But, you know, Hampsey is going well, and he really couldn't cope with the smarts and the physicality and the man strength of Michael Murphy. Like, you can lift all the weights and make yourself massive out of the gym all you like, but Michael Murphy just has natural man strength, as the man would call it, like, and that's very, very hard to cope with when he has the brain to go along with it. And for Tyrone, that'll be the biggest issue, and for Donegal, that'll be the biggest positive out of the weekend, that, you know, these boys still, no matter what they do, they still don't really have anything that can deal with Murphy, especially if he goes inside. He's a big threat for them at times, and I just think that, you know, other than that, you didn't probably learn a pile about Donegal. They looked all right. They looked sharp enough. They won the game. They worked it well when they had the spare man. They probably were just marginally the better side, but I don't think we learned a pile about them.
Yeah. Will Monaghan this coming weekend have their hands full with Michael Murphy and Donegal and Balbuffet? Do you feel, Kerr? You watched Monaghan last week in that defeat to Armagh.
I did. It was at Brewster Park on Sunday, and to be honest, yeah, I think one of them will have their hands full with Donegal in general. Murphy, like, who picks up Michael Murphy at the minute? Connor Boyle was a fullback for Monaghan. You know, somebody that I rate has become a very good player for them, but he looked sluggish on Sunday. He didn't quite look at the pace of it. He struggled with the pace of the game. Their back seven was strong. Their back seven, in terms of personnel, they were experienced and they were well stacked at the back. Their front 7 was weak and very inexperienced and very light physically. So, you know, if that Monaghan team, I would expect at least 3, if not 4, of the fellas that came off the bench, Darren Hughes, Kieran Hughes, Conor McManus, Fintan Kelly, all come off the bench. On Sunday, they had Drew Wiley, Colin Walsh, Jack McCarron, all not togged out, but were there. I would expect at least 3 or 4 of them to come into the team. If not, if they don't come into the team, I think it'll be a comfortable evening for Donegal, to be honest, on the basis of what I saw from Monaghan. I wouldn't see that Monaghan team troubling Donegal too greatly. But if it's a stronger Monaghan team, if those 3 or 4 fellas are back in well, then we sort of know what Monaghan Donegal games have been like over the last decade nearly. That there's not often been an awful pile to choose between them. So, but no, look, Monaghan weren't at it. They weren't sharp. They weren't fresh. They looked like a side that was behind, physically. They looked, obviously missing the leaders in attack, and they'd have been disappointed with what they got from a couple of other players as well, and you know, whipped Niall Cairns and Conor McCarthy off at half time, which was interesting, given that they were the only 2 experienced men they had from 8 up. The rest were all fledglings, like, and those were the 2 that they whipped up, which I thought was, you know, telling in terms of, you know, having no mercy. But no, Monaghan to me are still definitely a wee bit off it.
Right. Obviously, the other game in Division 1 North on Saturday sees Armagh against Tyrone. And Paul Donaghy put on a big shift for Tyrone at the weekend. He's been a class find. He, of course, was the Dungannon star last year in the championship. How's Armagh going to go about trying to handle him, Cahir?
Yep. Well, look, to be honest, Armagh have a couple of options there. Like, Armagh aren't too badly off in the line of man-marking defenders. I think, you know, without having studied in any great depth, I would imagine if I was in Kieran McGinney's shoes, I would think of Aidan Forker, because he's that kind of a player, and he'll also want to take Donaghy a run. Forker will want to make Donaghy test him out and see if he can defend. Forker scored 3 points from play on Sunday, 2 of them coming from full corner, centre half back, wherever he happened to be at the time. He was moving about, but I think that'll be the way that Armagh will go. And that's the way that Armagh go about it. You know, they try and put teams on the back foot. They weren't brilliant on Sunday. I would have expected, looking at the 2 teams in paper, that Armagh would have won that game more comfortably. They were 1-3 to no score up inside 8 minutes. And, you know, I suppose that's where they have learning to do. I don't think if Donegal had ever gotten that position, or Tyrone had ever gotten that position against that Monaghan team, they would have allowed it to get to the point where it was 1-11 apiece with an hour gone, and they were playing into a wind. And, like, hey, fair play to them, credit to them that they actually went on then and won it, and they were the better side. But it just probably indicated what learning Armagh still have to do in Division 1 football. And these are going to be the 2 real big games for them. They would have eyed up the Monaghan game. They would have felt they had to win it. But Tyrone are a team that have lamped Armagh a couple of times in bigger games when they've met them. Donegal obviously lamped them last year in the Ulster semi-final, and have been, you know, a fair wee distance ahead of them. So we'll know a lot more about Armagh in 2 weeks' time than we do at the minute.
Yeah. Let's move on to Division 3. Derry off to a winning start against Longford. It was a sort of a training day for Rory Gallagher's side down at Pierce Park last Sunday. But there's different opposition now to come this weekend, and it's set up very, very nicely with Fermanagh winning at the weekend. It is, of course, Rory Gallagher's native county. They're coming to Celtic Park. They're coming to your back door, so they are, Cahir. And this one's set up really, really nicely, so it is.
It is. You know, the Derry result in Longford raised a few eyebrows, certainly within Derry, because Derry hadn't won in Pierce Park in 19 years. It's not a place that they've enjoyed going. It's not Longford are not a team that they have a good record against. And, you know, the manner and the margin of the victory was very, very impressive. Derry looked sharp. They looked fit. They looked hungry. They looked to have a wee bit about them in attack. What Longford brought was probably minimal enough, but Yeah, Derry had had a decent result in a challenge game against Monaghan the week before as well, beating Monaghan, and you know, just you know, quietly sort of chipping along nicely, and will be fancying, really now fancying getting out of Division 3, given that, you know, before a ball was kicked, you would have said Cavan. But Cavan looked lifeless enough against Fermanagh down in Brewster Park and didn't really deserve to win the game. Fermanagh are coming now to Umbeg on Saturday afternoon, and I suppose the biggest thing they're bringing with them is a fresh and a rejuvenated Sean Quigley. Like, I mean, he literally physically looks about half the man that he was. He's in the shape of his life. Kicked 9 points against Cavan on the weekend. And, you know, Fermanagh have always been the sum of their parts in terms of, you know, they tend to maximise their 1-12 and they're a good side, but they would just badly lack a real scoring forward, a real scoring threat, and Quigley looks like he might be able to give that to them for the first time in a long time. And if they have that, then they're a dangerous opposition. They're not a side that Derry has had a handy run against, and I don't think Derry will get it too handy on Saturday, but they do look to be well at themselves, Derry, at the minute. They do look to be motoring well, and I would think that they'll really fancy now a jump up out of the league.
Cathal O'Kane of the Irish News. The Donegal hurlers will look to park last week's heavy defeat to Kildare and seek out a second win of their Division 2B National Hurling League campaign on Sunday in Letterkenny. They face Mayo at the O'Donnell Park, the side they beat to lift the All-Ireland Nicky Rackard title last year. The now retired Joe Boyle, who lives in Mayo, knows Mayo will be looking for revenge but expects a big response from Donegal.
The first day out there against Roscommon, like, you know, it was hard to know, I suppose, and from Mickey's point of view and the management's point of view, to know where the lads were at, like, you know, because it was just a couple of weeks training beforehand. And, you know, they went into the game, probably didn't play great against Roscommon. You know, they had 12 wides and things like that. But look, you know, they got the result. That's all that mattered. They got the 2 points against Roscommon. And as I said at the start, you know, they'll be targeting their home games. And they got the 2 against Roscommon, Mayo this weekend. You know, they'll be targeting another 3 points there, definitely.
Yeah. What sort of Mayo are they going to face this weekend? Yes, they beat them in the Rackard final last year, so they did at Croke Park, and Donegal finished the stronger in that game. Mayo will obviously come to Letterkenny looking for a bit of revenge, so they will.
I suppose last year Mayo like got a good lead in this in the Nicky Rackard final, and we kind of reeled them in, and you know, I suppose we got a few goals near the end in that, because it was nip and tuck the whole way, like, you know, there wasn't much in it, and we had 2 quick-fire goals, and, you know, deservedly, in my opinion, won the Nicky Rackard. Like, but look, Mayo's a changed team this year. Like, you know, they've changed the whole spine of their team. They have a new recruit in there from Galway as well, playing Galway, Pierce McCran. You know, he's playing Galway Senior Championship. He's centre-half-back. They changed around the team. Keith Higgins is back in there. I think he had 1-4 last week against, Roscommon. So, you know, Mayo has a changed team from last year. They come into Letterkenny after, you know, 2-1s and a trot there, like, you know, their confidence will be up, but I expect our boys, you know, I expect a big response from Donegal this weekend.
Yeah, Donegal defensively, they'll be looking for a good showing, and if they can do that, Joe, I suppose it'll be like where we were in the Roscommon game. If you can hang in there, anything can happen towards the end.
There's teams came to Letterkenny before when we were in 2B, the likes of Down and Derry, and, you know, we pulled off the results there, and definitely there's no reason why Donegal can't beat Mayo this weekend. Like, as I said, we beat them last year, you know, that's gone now. Mayo might be coming looking for a bit of revenge, you know, but in saying that, Donegal are more than capable of beating Mayo this weekend. And as I said, last week's results didn't go their way, so like they might be looking for a response this weekend too as well, you know.
How big a miss is Davin Flynn? You watched Donegal over the last 2 games. He of course was the star man in that Rackard final towards the end last year, so I know we keep going back to that day in Croke Park, but obviously a big part player for Donegal last year. He's not there this year, so he's not, Joe. Was it evident in the last 2 games that we're missing the likes of Davin Flynn?
Davin, you know, he's come from good pedigree down in Tipperary there, like, and you know, he racked up some nice scores last year first, as I say, in the Nicky Rackard final. It was a goal that we needed. But overall, I would say, you know, like, young Kevin Keeley there is a massive miss, in my opinion, as well. Like, you know, he was playing wing forward last year, playing some great stuff. Might have, you know, it never happened for him, the Nicky Rackard final, although he tried hard. You know, he's a big miss there as well, you know. And I suppose, like, looking around, the forwards haven't really clicked yet, you know, like they can, because if you look at that Donegal forward line, like, you know, there's some serious talent there, but, you know, it just hasn't really clicked regarding scores-wise, you know. But I remember last year they clicked against Tyrone and you know, went into the Nicky Record final then and great form. So, look, it's hopefully now Letterkenny, they love Letterkenny, nice big pitch, so hopefully they'll suit our forwards come Sunday.
It's former Donegal hurler Joe Boyd with his take ahead of Donegal's clash with Mayo. Let's go to soccer now. It's a busy week for North West clubs with three series of games in 8 days. Van Harps play Drogheda United in a battle for fourth tomorrow evening at Finn Park. The Ballybuffet side will then make the long trip to Waterford on Monday, and then they have a derby against Sligo Rovers the following Friday. Among the other games tomorrow, Derry City are making the long trip south as they take on struggling Waterford. On this week's League of Ireland chat, I've been joined by former Finn Harps player Mickey Funston, who has been impressed with Harps this season.
Harps have been excellent this season. They've kind of been a surprise package for everybody in the sense that, you know, they won't be surprised and they're still dominating their set plays and, they focus on that. Once they get you in, they don't let you out. But it's the quality that's always brought into the squad. It's been not surprising, but it's surprising the way it's hit the ground running, you know, and it was credit to him. He kept the nucleus of last year's squad, you know, 2020 squad, and, you know, 21, he's added to it, and, you know, obviously with Adam no banging in the goals again, gives them a real chance, and, you know, Karen Sullivan stepped up to the plate. So, you know, it's been a really bright start. They've played some really good football. Barry back to me there's ticking on nicely. He's been playing kind of really well, and as the man says, like, doing that dirty side of the game really well, and he's working hard. But in the last 3 or 4 weeks, he started to come into where we see Barry in that number 10 role dropping in, and just, you know, obviously for the goal in Derry. And his goal last week was top notch. And, you know, hopefully that's Barry building nice momentum as we get in, like, you know, as we've done the first round of fixtures. So hopefully it's kind of all going well that way.
Drogheda is the target this coming Friday night. What sort of game are you expecting here, Mickey?
I'm expecting goals, actually. I'm just expecting goals, you know, with Chris Lyons, obviously, and young Mark Doyle for Drogheda, and obviously with Harps' own firepower with Alan Foley. I'm expecting goals because, actually, that's the kind of thing Harps have kind of been caught on the double-edged sword kind of thing, because they're going a little bit, and I like to say the word little bit when we're talking about Ollie Horgan here, a little bit more expansive. They have leaked a few more goals than they would have liked. And Drogheda's the same, you know, they've gone away, you know, they obviously play expansive football, Drogheda, and they play nice brand of football. So I expect goals, I'm obviously tapping Harps for the one, but, you know, I think it's going to be a 2-1. I really can see, you know, a goals in the game. Hopefully I'm right.
Yeah, and there is the carrot, I suppose, dangling as well. It's a battle for fourth so early in the season. Drogheda just ahead by a point of Harps. Harps will go back into that position if they get the full 3 points this coming weekend, Mickey.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity, obviously, with Harps going to Waterford on Monday. It's a massive opportunity, and obviously the players will just fully focus on the job tomorrow night. But it's a real opportunity to, you know, pull back Sligo, actually. If you can leapfrog Drogheda and you can get, you know, on the tail of Sligo, obviously they're going really well, and stay as close as you can for as long as possible. You know, it's exciting. It's going to be a good game.
The squad for Harp is definitely going to be tested this time around, Mickey, because we've got game Drogheda Friday, Monday Waterford, and then Sligo then the following weekend. Harps have improved with their squad, but in a period like this, particularly as we are now into the thick of the second run of games, it's really, really going to be tested, isn't it?
Yeah, it is going to be a test of Harps squad, and obviously Ollie likes to do things unknown, so there will be a change tomorrow night that probably won't foresee, because Ollie likes to do that. He likes to do that with other managers, you know, keeps Tom Clancy on his game that way. So there'll definitely be a change tomorrow night. We're thinking of going to Waterford because Ollie's, when I'm working with him, he's a percentage manager. He'll know his chance of getting the 3 points percentage-wise will be in Waterford. So I actually see him probably holding back, we'll say, his better players, or his players are in better form for the Monday game, actually. But in saying that, you know, Harps have Mark Tomlin coming back there, who has obviously been out, with that horrendous injury. So, he's got a little bit of game time. So I would like to see him start tomorrow night, because it might bring a little bit of freshness into the squad, aiming for Monday. you know, and Hearts have a big squad. Like, there's players like Tony McNamee's, you know, game time has been, you know, few and far between, and Tony's performances when he's been on the pitch has been excellent. So Hearts do have a decent depth in squad, you know, like young Stephen Doherty's been in there. He's done really, really well. He's kind of, because I'd say Mark Coyle and Byron McNamee have been going so well, and Adam Foley, he's kind of hasn't got the plaudits he deserves, but he's been going really, really well. And obviously he's come through the academy. So, you know, he's one we'll be trying to flag for the future to keep him.
A number of injuries there, obviously, for Ollie. Johnny Dunleavy is one, Stephen Follin. We've also got a big cost, Kosovar Siddiqui, who's also on the injured list. But if he can get back for a game or two now, Kosovar Siddiqui would be a huge, huge benefit to the defence of Harps, wouldn't he, Mickey?
Yeah, he's been a man mountain since he's come in, and I think his leadership and everything. And I think just because he's so big, his presence gives him so much confidence, you know. So obviously, if you could get him, you know, fit, that would be a big plus for Ollie, because Ollie likes a settled back four. That's something, you know, he won't change unless he needs to change. So hopefully he's fit.
Yeah. What would Ollie be looking for out of the next three games? Obviously, you would say, Mickey, 9 points would be nice, but what's the realistic target out of the next three, do you feel?
The realistic target, I suppose, I would love 9 points, but realistically, you know, you're looking for 2-1s and a draw, really, would be what you want to do. Obviously, if you could get maybe a draw tomorrow night, that keeps you right on draw to cusp, and then get the one and a derby game. I'd love to see us go, you know, beat Sligo at home. So, you know what I mean? Because they're going really well. It'd be such a confidence booster. But at the same time, there's no reason Hearts can't aim for 9 points. Like, obviously, the players can only take it one game at a time. But, you know, I'd love us to see us aim for 9 points, but really, if you get 2-1s in a draw, I think that would probably, over the three games, be like maximum return. Ollie would be delighted with that, you know.
Derry City away from home against Waterford on Friday night as well. Michael, Derry sitting in the bottom three in the table, but Rory Higgins knows if they get a result down there tomorrow night, that is going to open up a bit of daylight between them and the bottom club, is which they really, really want to avoid.
Yeah, everybody's saving grace, really, is that Waterford's going really, really poorly. And obviously, with all the controversy down there, they're just not in a good place. So, obviously, we're worried about down there looking for maximal points to give them that little bit of breathing space. You know, but Longford are decent as well. And they'll not hopefully let Derry get too far away. But no, that should be, you know, but when you're in that difficult situation like Rory is, and you've come in, and he's got really good results since he's come in, you know, he's only been beat by Harps, but, and obviously he got a really good draw last week against Shamrock Rovers. And to be honest, Shamrock Rovers equaliser, how it stood, I don't think anybody knows. If they weren't top of the league and champions, definitely for me, I definitely wouldn't have stood, because like the ball went out at the dugouts and he nearly took a throw in at the 18-yard box. So I don't know how Rory actually kept his composure and stayed on the pitch, because I know if I was manager for Derry, I definitely would have lost the cool. But no, he's got them in a good place. They're going well. They're a young side, but they're playing decent football, Derry, you know, and, you know, they have goal scorers among their ranks.
Former Finn Harps player Mickey Funston tipping Finn Harps and Derry City to both win tomorrow evening, a Friday, in the Premier Division of the SSE Air Trusty League. We go to boxing, and Donegal's Jason Quigley has admitted that it's been a frustrating time over the past 18 months as he finally prepares for a return to the ring later this month. He's back in action in Las Vegas on May 29th, that's Saturday week, when he takes on Shane Mosley Jr. with the NABO middleweight title on the line. Since suffering a first professional defeat in July of 2019 to Torino Johnston, the Donegal man has been under the tutelage of Andy Lee, and Jason feels he's now an improved fighter and is in his best space since turning pro.
I just feel as if I'm a much more matured person now inside and outside of boxing, in terms of the way that I look at the sport, the way that I look at fights, the way that I approach fights, the way that I am in the actual ring as well, being more present, being more mindful in there. And it's an exciting time for me. There's a lot of fighters come away and say, this is the new version of me. Like, this isn't a new version of me. This is just a tweaked version of me with a few small changes mentally, a few small changes technique-wise and physically. So, yeah, I'm really excited and really looking forward to it now come May 29th.
How long did it take yourself and Andy Lee to figure out what was actually needed to be tweaked, Jason, to bring you on and become an improved version of yourself?
Well, Andy's a very, you know, he's a very knowledgeable, has a massive IQ in boxing. And, you know, Andy would have seen stuff right away that he would have seen just when he wasn't even my coach, you know, as a fighter watching the fights. And then obviously as we work together in the gym, the more sessions that we've done, the more we've got to tweak on things, make things better. And it's not been like, you know, you're not going to see Jesus Quigley's a completely different fighter. Like, you know, there's just small changes that is going to improve my game, improve my performances. And yeah, like it was a matter of, you know, the whole time that I've been with Andy, it didn't just end up being 2 months of training and being like, right, that's it, we have it. You know, it was a matter of weeks and months and a year going on now to, you know, nearly 2 years working together. And every session that we do, we're improving, we're working on things, and we're trying to be that 1% better every day.
Yeah, I know. Speaking to you previously, when you entered the professional ranks, that you were comfortable with the step up into the pro ranks. And listen, to be fair, there probably was a lot of expectation on you then. Yes, you have suffered your first defeat since then, and you lost that North American belt that you had. But do you feel more sort of comfortable in this environment now since you've joined up with Andy?
Yeah, like I'm in an environment now that worked for me whenever I was an amateur as well. I trained in Dublin with Irish High Performance Team. I was able to go home most weekends. I was really enjoying what I was doing. And that's the type of person that I am. I'm not a person that needs to go away into training camp to stay away from partying and drinking and eating bad foods. You know, I live a pretty clean life outside of boxing as it is. And I'm a very disciplined, hard worker, focused, determined on becoming the best that I can in a way. So, you know, that has worked perfect for me. And the relationship that I have with Andy, like it's just a matter of 4 or 5 different things all coming together. Like you can't just turn around and pick one thing and say that's what the change was. There's a mixture of 4 or 5 different things that have all blended together and made this a very, very good situation now that I'm in.
Next up, you is, of course, in Las Vegas, Shane Mosley Jr. This fight has been seen as an important fight for both of you guys if you are going to continue to move on up the ladder in your career. Is that a fair enough assessment, is it, Jason?
Yeah, of course. You know, every fight as a professional fighter is a very important fight. You know, you can't really afford any backward steps in boxing because it's not really just one backward step. It can knock you back a few. It's hard to get back into the positions that you were in again. So, you know, every fight is a massive fight. And this one now, especially for me, you know, I'm really excited for it. It's on a massive stage, the Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas, on a massive card. 2 world title fights on the card, then I'm the next fight on for the WBO version of the middleweight title, you know. So this is a very exciting fight. Really looking forward to it, and yes, it's a very important one also.
Yeah, how do you keep yourself grounded? Because at times the big lights of Vegas can be a distraction for a sportsman who goes to that sort of area of America, which is huge for sports and particularly a boxer, Jason.
Well, that's one thing that I was very lucky to have come across all this in my professional career already. You know, I've had my pro debut in the MGM Grand on the Canelo Lara world title fight. I've had all the media workouts, the press conferences, the grand arrivals and limousines. I have been through it all. I know what to expect. And these are things that I have turned around and says that whenever my time comes and whenever the big, massive, bright lights are on me, this is where I'm going to be able to walk in, cool, calm, collected, with tunnel vision, my mind on the game, and not get distracted by everything that's going on around me. And this is exactly now the position that I'm in, and it's up to me now to use that experience that I've had throughout my career and put it all into play now come fight week.
What are you expecting from Shane Mosley Jr. to bring to the ring, Jason? What kind of fighter is he?
Look, to be honest, look, Shane's a great fighter. He comes from a very good pedigree, as anybody that knows boxing knows. His father was an absolute legend of the sport. But, you know, Shane is a great fighter. But, you know, to be honest, I have watched some videotapes. I've looked at what he's good at. I've looked at what he's not good at. How can I exploit him? How can I counteract what he is good at? And, you know, I have done my homework on him, and it's time now to just start concentrating on myself, getting in there, being the best version of me, doing what I want to do and doing my game plan to 110%, and let him worry about what I have to take to the table.
Yeah. You sparred with him before, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Probably 5-6 years ago, whenever I was first over in LA, I sparred him and his father all in the one day. And, look, to be honest, I can't really remember sparring him because I was that focused on sparring the Fowler, and I really enjoyed it, and it was a great experience. And, you know, me and Shane kept in touch for a while after it, and obviously I moved back home and everything I got there. And, you know, boxing is a gentleman's sport, and there's not too many times you'll get real idiots or real disrespectful fighters there. There's obviously a couple in the sport, but you know, there's a lot of respect between fighters, but come fight night, that'll all be pushed to the one side. We'll be getting in there, taking care of business, and then we can shake hands in after it and have another chat about that spar to see if we remember much.
Yeah, Jason Quigley off to America this week for his fight on Saturday week in Las Vegas. There is another Donegal middleweight in action this coming weekend. Brett McGinty is back in the ring on Saturday at the Sky Dome Arena in Coventry. He faces Jordan Granham in what is his second professional fight. That one will be live on Channel 5 with Brett you in the ring on Saturday around 5:30 Irish time. Brett, of course, is under trainer former world champion Ricky Hatton. Finally, just looking ahead to live activity here in Highland this coming weekend. Fun Harps against Drogheda United in the Premier Division in the League of Ireland. Tomorrow evening, Friday, kicks off 7:45. We will have full live match commentary as from the kickoff time with Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle. Then on Saturday, I'll be joined in the commentary position in McCool Park by Martin McHugh for the Division 1 North National League encounter as Donegal take on Monaghan. Throw-in time there is at 5 o'clock. The Donegal ladies start their campaign against Westmeath on Sunday. Tom Comack and Maureen O'Donnell will be at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. We'll have a number of updates from that game and aftermatch reaction. And then later at 2 o'clock at the O'Donnell Park, I'll be back in the commentary position again at the Letterkenny venue alongside Colin Brannock. Donegal hurlers are up against Mayo in Division 2B. Starts at 2, full commentary here on Sunday afternoon. So it's all set to be a busy weekend. If you missed any of the show tonight, all you have to do is log on to the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. You can listen back and indeed watch the interviews as well. They're available there now. That's it from The Score for another week. We'll be back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Until then, as always, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online at michaelmurphysports.ie.